Blog Talk Radio.
Personality-wise, Ginger has a lot of my personality traits, so usually before I even say, you know, do this, she's on it. She was a little laggy last night. I was like, what is wrong?
Yeah, I was drinking. Well, that and we were watching game trailers, and girl, shiny things. I get distracted so easily. I was trying not to sit there and watch while we were talking, but it's right there. I mean, it was my whole screen, too. I couldn't see anything else. So, like,
might as well watch it. Might as well look at it.
It was horrible.
You missed our E3 show last night. It was interesting. Find some new technology. So, yeah. Wait a minute. Ginger, what is going on? Ginger, you have some full-on stalkers on Facebook. Did you know that?
Really? What's going on?
I see a comment from somebody that says that you're so cute, the zombies might not bite you.
Now I got to log into that other Facebook.
Yeah.
I'm not seeing it over here.
It was quite a few hours ago, but it just popped up in my thing because, you know, I don't live on the book of faces. I do check on my muddlings. Good morning to our friends over at Idol Worship. We were not kidding when we said we were addicted to your game. That was not a joke. In case you have not noticed, we're in there every few hours.
True story. That is the most amazing game. I love that game.
Considering us on Facebook, it is amazing. It is absolutely amazing. Very impressive.
Aww. Thank you, Larry. So adorable.
Now, I gotta say a hello to our Xbox chick on Twitter. She followed her harasser. I like her comment this morning. She's waiting for somebody to make Warcraft for her phone, then it's over. We will never see her again. You know, I am not a Warcraft fan, but I gotta say, if they put it on a mobile device, that's too sexy to pass up.
No kidding, right? Oh, my God. I can't even imagine. Especially if I can fish, because World of Warcraft, if I can fish, that was my favorite thing to do. I always had the best fishing spots.
People
were like, how did you even know that this was up here? Because I explore.
Ginger? That was a rum. Why is the rum gone? Yeah, Ginger, no more rum for you.
Drinking water this morning.
Uh-huh. Go ahead and say your name is Captain Jack Sparrow, Savvy, and just get it out of your system. Rum, that is kind of hardcore, Jen.
Well, I was out of selling comfort.
Oh, you know what? I have a bottle of bourbon there. I had it since Christmas. It's not how much I drink. I really just, I was going to try last night, but I was not in the best of mood, so I didn't want to attack anybody. Okay, Sean,
well, see, that's the deal. I mean, these bottles, I will buy them in the last, I don't know, 6 months, a year. Something like that. So, I mean, it's not like I drink all the time, but every once in a while, yeah.
She's drinking this morning. Don't let her lie to you.
I'm drinking water.
See? Drinking.
Good little girl.
You can get drunk off of water. You do know that, right?
No.
You can't if you drink too much. Yeah, see? Little interesting medical facts people don't know about. You drink too much water, you can get drunk. That's a lot of water, though. You gotta drink gallons and gallons like every day, and then yes, you'll get drunk off the water. Of course, then after that, you have to go to the hospital because it's the same as alcohol poisoning, too much water.
Oh, well, that's interesting. I never heard of that before. Mm-hmm. I learned something new.
Mm-hmm. You learn something new every day.
Every day.
All right, we got some interesting gaming news. We just got this from the people over at ABI Research, who for some reason don't like to send me copy of their logo to go with the stories they send. But thank you, guys. Anyway, yes, that's right. We give our news outlets a hard time, our sources and things. I'm going to jump in. May I, Ginger? Yes.
You go right on ahead.
Look, I answer for you. Yes, thank you. according to ABI research, the handheld games market is in a downward spiral, thanks mostly in part to tablets and mobile devices. Over 38 million handheld gaming devices from Sony and Nintendo are expected to ship next year, a maximum that is significantly lower than the previous peak of 47 million units in 2008. Unit shipments following 2013 are expected to decline. Did I just run all those words together? Expected to decline slightly, but dedicated handheld gaming devices are sustainable. Are a sustainable niche, with relatively flat through 2017. Smartphone and tablet use for gaming consoles continue to expand, making the mobile gaming market an increasingly important companion to dedicated handheld gaming. Senior analyst Michael Inyu comments that mobile devices will compete with dedicated handheld gaming devices, but select used consumer segments like core gamers and those individuals who do not want or have a smartphone or a tablet will still provide some demand. The addition of mobile gaming is not necessarily a zero-sum situation. In fact, many feel there's still plenty of room in the gaming market for both portable and mobile gaming. Following an initially strong first quarter 2011 launch, Nintendo's 3DS experienced a far weaker second quarter, prompting the company to dramatically lower the price of the handheld from $249 to $170. The lower price, with additional titles, spurred sales to over 15 million through the 2011 calendar year. In late 2011, Sony launched the Vita in Japan with a wider launch in February 2012 to decent sales, although the price might prove an issue for Sony as well, despite significantly more robust hardware. You better check that at the door. Sony stuff breaks if you look at it too hard. In new ads, the mobile and tablet markets have increased consumers' pricing sensitivity. First-party developers and key game franchises will be vital cogs for the industry in the future, in coming months, rather, since hardware alone is not going to cut it given the shorter upgrade cycles for mobile devices. Recent announcements at E3 from Nintendo and Microsoft, coupled with past mobile-centric initiatives by Sony, make it clear that mobile experiences will be integrated into dedicated gaming experiences, both console and portable, which we told you last night if you were listening to our E3 show. APBI does have their research that's floating around, and I cannot get a copy. Thank you, APB. They're like, click here for a copy. We're going to share that with y'all. But So I think you developers, instead of doing all this inner fighting, need to come out swinging and make a console that is just as badass as a Nintendo 3DS. And Nintendo's a terrible system. It's just not very durable. And make one that's a phone. Show them how it's done.
Oh, yes. Oh, God, yeah. Oh, that's just so hot.
Show them how it's done. Show these mobile phone carriers this is how it should be done, since you're trying to put your toe in our pond. And they are. They're taking your money, in essence, because a lot of us are – you know, if we got to choose, we need the phone. We don't necessarily need the mobile device. We like it. We want it, but
yeah,
we don't.
I will totally admit I love my phone, but yeah, way, way overpriced for what I've got.
Mm-hmm. So I think they should go ahead. And you can have a little contract or two in there. You can mix and match some things, and that I do. You say, okay, I'm going to give you a two-year contract for this Xbox phone, and this contract also covers your Xbox Live subscription, and you get 10% off every game you buy from the indie games games marketplace. There's 50 million ways to do this to get your gamers back and watch the cell phone carriers go, So I do it. Two-year contract. I get much data and everything as I want to, you know, I can handle. I can tweet and Facebook, and yeah, you guys need to fight back a little bit. I think the iPad's cute. There's not a whole lot of games that are going to keep me on the iPad for long periods of time. Where the way I go back and pick up Assassin's Creed or any of these, it's not happening. And that has to do with the fact that a lot of developers don't know what the hell to do with the iPad, for one. For two, there's not a lot you can do with the iPad as a gamer.
Yeah.
You get tired of holding that thing after a while. So, yeah, I think they need to fight back.
Yeah, I think they should, too. I think that could be a good fight. I think that'd be an interesting fight.
Yeah, it'd be a delicious fight, because I would so have me a phone. I don't want a Windows phone, but if you got, like, if you guys paired up with, say, like, Google and did a Droid gamer phone... Man, I would so like. I got to have it. How much is it? $600. I'm buying it, and it's a tablet and I can play. Oh man.
Yes. Oh, that'd be sexy. That'd be so sexy.
Imagine the things that the developers can even do with that. GPS location-based game. Oh, please, come on, people.
Oh, that'd be so hot. All right, so I'm going to continue my zombie watch. And, yeah, apparently, oh, that link did not open. Why did it not open? You know what? I'm going to go back to this other one, because this does deal with zombies, too. Worried about zombie attack by zombie bullets. I'm pulling this from CBS Local Detroit. Talk about zombies and a possible zombie apocalypse has increased due to recent gory accounts of drug-induced flesh-eating attacks in the news. Stores across the U.S., including in Metro Detroit, are getting in on the undead action by selling zombie bullets made by Hornady Manufacturing. And promoting the product on the website, Hornady suggests be prepared. Oh, my God.
Be prepared. It's okay.
Can we start over? All right. Be prepared. Supply yourself for the zombie apocalypse with Zombie Max ammunition from Hornady. Loaded with proven Z-Max bullets, make dead permanent. Oh, my God. So will this ammunition actually defend against things that go bump in the night? WWJ News Radio 950's Zahara Huber, oh, my God, people, spoke with company spokesman Everett Degger, anyways, who said while the bullets are real, they're only meant to be used on targets and not on people or zombies. Degger said company president Steve Hornady came up with the idea for Zombie Max bullets because of his love for zombie movies and shows. After it gained some acceptance among some of us here in the company, got on board with the idea, we decided just to have some fun with a marketing plan that would allow us to create some ammunition to that fictional world. He said the Zombie Max and Z-Max bullets are Hornady's most successful products. This is probably one of the only product launches that we've seen when people who are not in the hunting and shooting industry will go out and they will purchase this. I mean, I've heard of guys who buy it just because they think the packaging is cool. Yes, it says zombie on it. I need it. They don't even own a gun, and they just set it in their cubicle. That page just did something crazy. Ooh, all right, there it goes. It's back. That was strange. It, like, totally just refreshed on me and, like, skipped back up to the top. It has that sort of cross-market appeal, which I think is rare to find these days, where you can actually sell something that will transcend not just one market, but it go into several. Awesome. All right, so you can buy the bullets at Cabela's. And if you don't know what Cabela's is, very awesome hunting stores. Check it out. Z-Max or Zombie Max.
Did you ever find your other zombie story?
Yes. Yes, I did. And it's on the other side. All right, so we heard about the gay porn star, cannibal killer.
Yeah.
His boyfriend recorded it and then ate him.
Mm-hmm.
He may have done this before. Do you remember a couple months back, they found a beheaded body, well, the head was underneath the Hollywood sign? This
yeah.
This thing did his work too, apparently.
Oh, my God. You flippin' zombie.
Yeah, because he was in the area. He was working. You can't see the air quotes. But, yeah, he had ads in Craigslist as a masseuse and stuff like that. And apparently these two were linked, they're saying. So they think that because part of the body was never found, this is this was his first murder, where he killed a guy, beheaded him, ate parts of him, and then dumped the rest out underneath the Hollywood sign. So, 3 points of contact for zombies now, people, if you're keeping up. At least 4. There's one up in Maine somewhere,
mm-hmm.
I want to say. We've got Hollywood, we've got Miami, and then we've got Canoopland. So, yeah. All right, this is spreading. Maybe we should start getting worried. Tiny.
Start getting worried. What did I tell you? I was not joking. Yesterday, I got 2 cans of gasoline. I got 2 more that are empty on Twitter. Know Me For You is saying she's got some incendiary ammo or she's going to be making some. I'm pretty sure how I'm going to make mine. I'm going to get those bullets and soak them in some gasoline. We're going to wrap them in some gauze. And I'm going to carry them in a little pack right at my side, you know, that they're away from the light and cool. I'm going to put a little ice pack thing around. See, you people, you're laughing. This is serious business.
Serious business. Zombies. Oh, my God.
Look, and just in case, like I told y'all, just in case, I'm not, you know, I'm still preparing. In case it breaks out today, I got my desk. See, I'm playing. I got my screwdriver. Good for jabbing in eyes. people. Y'all better get ready.
Now, what is on Ginger's desk today? Ginger has a plan to make a keychain later. I have a 256 megabyte DDR on my desk today.
Will it kill zombies?
It will not kill zombies, but it will smack the crap out of stupid people. So I'm going to put it on my keychain.
We're going to need you to get that together, Ginger. All right. Up next, Nintendo. Remember we were talking last night about the pricing. They're being really mum about the pricing. But Nintendo, more specifically, Reggie, we all know who Reggie is, says that they're about to
launch. Reggie who?
Reggie. That Reggie. You know that Reggie.
Oh, I don't know who you're talking about. No.
Reggie. He's on me. It's like my friends or our friends or something like that in French. I could be wrong. My French sucks. But he says, you all might be pleasantly surprised. The top question, of course, was the price. And many believe that the Xbox and PS3 could put a little pressure on Wii come this holiday season with price cuts. Nintendo of America boss Reggie, we're going to call you Reggie, says he doesn't foresee any problems with your reactions to the price. He said Nintendo believes in being a mass market product, so unlike our competitors, when they've launched historical systems to maybe start at a really high price and work their way down, we don't believe in that. We want to launch at a price that's going to represent an ongoing great value. He says, you look at the Wii, we stayed at $250 for a really long time. I think since forever. I think it just dropped. He says, and we're give that same level of thought to the Wii U. How do we launch at a value that we're going to be able to sustain for a long time? I think people are going to be pleasantly surprised, if you will, about the way we're managing the value equation. He says he also brushed aside any thought that Nintendo may have to alter its strategy based on what Microsoft or Sony may do with their respective systems. He says, we don't look at what people do. We step back and say, what would be fun? What would be unique? What would be different? Remember that conversation last night?
Usually I would call BS on this, but I totally believe it from them.
Yeah. He says, and that's what's driving us. But having said that, is our vision that consumers are going to be super excited about Miiverse and super excited about what it represents? Absolutely. The way that we're going to integrate it into games, the way that you'll be able to pop in, pop out with your messaging and get information, we think is hugely powerful. We're about to launch a tremendously powerful system, a system that pushes out great graphics, a system that has an opportunity to do a lot of things. Reggie says he believes that Wii U will ultimately be able to provide all experiences gamers could want between Nintendo's own games and the lineup Nintendo will secure from third parties. He said, what we've heard from the fan community is, I want my Mario, I want my Zelda, and I want the best kind of third party, and that's what we're looking to bring to consumers. So consumer choice is going to be, once I buy my Wii U that satisfies my Nintendo cravings for all these things and other great multi-platform franchises, then what is the role of a competitive platform? He says, and to me, that is the million-dollar question of our potential competitors down the road. Who's going to have that compelling content that's going to say, now I need to branch out and pick up this additional system? I think that's for them to answer. Reggie, you're kind of hot.
Totally.
And we know that here's the thing. I don't call myself a Nintendo fangirl because I was never into the Nintendo thing when everybody else was. I liked Zelda, but I could care less about what else was on the system. I was never a Mario fan. In fact, I hated Mario. I'm just now starting to let's say it's okay.
I was Final Fantasy on the Nintendo, on the NES.
I was a Zelda chick. And so what I love about Nintendo is whatever they promise you, they deliver. Do I point out again, Xbox, I'm still waiting for my marketplace where I could sell my own goods. That stuck with me. Y'all know I like to make stuff to sell. I just envisioned, ooh, we're going to be making T-shirts and selling to people and sharing, and it's going to be fun. No. I'm waiting to be able to surf the internet. I don't want to use Bing. I want to use whatever I want to use.
Exactly. I don't like Bing.
Yeah, and I want my console Wi-Fi out of the box. I don't want to have to go buy peripherals to make it wireless. My Wii came Wi-Fi out of the box. I don't have any issues with it. It's never gone red ring or blue crazy, whatever it is.
Exactly. I've had to fix my Xbox 2-3 times now. I've had my Wii 3 times as long, not had one issue.
And I could surf the internet from day one. Those of you who were all like, ooh, I can watch Netflix on my Xbox now. You could always watch Netflix on your Wii, even before some of you knew you could. As soon as they made it web-based, you were able to do it on the Wii. And the Wii people were like, I don't know what you make such a big deal about. I've been watching Netflix for 2 years now on my Wii. Where are you looking for?
Yeah.
So, and you didn't have to download an app to do it. All you had to do was go to the website, log in, and watch. So Nintendo promises us things and they give it to us. The rest of you, if you don't have it, just don't show it. I don't want to see it because I have a long memory, whereas this is concerned. I wanted you to give me what you told me you were going to give me. That's what got me excited. And when I get it, and it's like, oh, well, we couldn't do it, what the hell you show it to me for then?
Exactly. But didn't we have that issue last year with Microsoft showing, was it Microsoft? Was it Sony showing us things for the PS3, games, whatnot, and it turned out to be all, was actual gameplay.
What were we talking about, Sorcery?
Yeah, maybe it was Sorcery. Yeah, it wasn't actual gameplay that they were showing us. It was all CGI video and stuff like that.
Yeah, and people are like, I want to see the game.
Yeah.
I want you to show it to me. I don't mind cutscenes as much. I just I take it kind of like a movie trailer.
Mm-hmm.
In essence, I know it's not the real gameplay, but a lot of gamers want to see what it is you're trying to sell me. And you can't go to the store and demand they put it in. You know, people that work at the store don't have all day to open box and put it in for you. And somebody else is trying to play. They got to watch you in case you try to take it out. Just So I don't. Yeah, I can understand why some people want to see the real film. Anyway, what we got, Ginger May?
We have got that I want to work for Facebook now.
Hey, are we saying that all loud?
No, I'm going to say this loud. If they want to pay me what they're paying their interns, I want to work for them. Did you see this over in the Yahoo section this morning? Yeah, I pulled this from Yahoo Finance. They say it pays to be an intern at Facebook. Yeah, with a diploma in hand, many college graduates are feeling pretty good that they snagged an internship in their field of choice this summer. These internships, many of them probably paying a lunch stipend or all, are expected to pay off in the form of valuable experience and connections. An April survey by the National Association of Colleges and Employers reported that employers are expecting to increase internship hires by 8.5% over last year. All right, so I get a cough. Seriously, this weather's killing me. But not many will likely compare with the gigs of some computer science nerds. A few report nerds. You know what? I would gripe, but we are. A few reports circulating this week have pointed to some fortunate Facebook software engineering interns who are set to bring home an average monthly salary of, are you ready for this? $6,225, according to Glassdoor.com,
a month?
Career site. A month. Yeah, a month.
Who do we know that works at Facebook?
No kidding, right?
We do know somebody that works at Facebook.
We do. I know exactly who you
do.
I'll get that corset ready. All right, so that works out a yearly salary of $74,700. This is for internship people. For comparison, median household income from 2006 to 2010 was nearly $52,000, according to the latest census data. The average monthly pay for all Facebook interns, according to the site, is around $5,800. Jealous yet? There's more. A few anonymous Facebook interns posted further details, with one second-year student saying that he/she was offered $5,400 a month and a $1,000 housing stipend.
Ooh.
Another science graduate student said they got $6,800 a month and a $1,000 housing stipend, negotiated up from $6,600. Facebook software engineers make an average of $111,452 a year, according to Glassdoor.
Wow.
That's hot. With software engineers to the key to so many hot startups in Silicon Valley, it's no wonder Facebook and other tech firms are paying top dollar for talent and aiming to get them before they've even gotten their degrees. So how do interns at the social networking giant fare compared with their counterparts at other firms? Glassdoor released a report last month listing intern salaries at 20 top-rated companies. We've got them. Let me see. Software engineering intern at Google, $6,463.
You know,
that's nuts. Microsoft, $6,746.
Here's the one bad part about all of that. They're making a lot of money, but they're in California.
They are.
So if they were actually able to make that money and live in Texas, that's a lot of money to make a month. You'd be living in, especially in Houston, you'd live in the two richest neighborhoods we have here, River Oaks and Bel Air. You'd be able to afford a house easily. But there in California now, I'm kind of like, that's good. That's actually okay money for California.
I'd be stacking up with about six others of these interns.
Yeah, it's at the prices that you have to pay in California. So on one hand, it sounds good, but wow, how much of that are you actually getting to keep? Are you, how much are you spending on rent? How much are you spend? How are you sharing a house with somebody?
For interns.
Yeah, but still, again, they're in California. They're in California.
Yeah.
We'd have to look at. We can probably debate this throughout the show because I mean, I was just curious to how much a cheap apartment costs in California.
That's good. That's a very, very, very good question. But yeah. So I mean, just wow. Facebook, I want to be an intern.
Poor,
I want to sit on a couch somewhere inside the building, but hey, I want to be an intern.
Aww.
I don't know what I'd intern for, but hey, I'm cute, I'm adorable, y'all want me?
Okay, what is Facebook's in, what, San Francisco, or are they in L.A.? Are they in San Diego? Anybody know where they're located? Go look at the bottom of your Facebook page, Ginger, while I do this next tour. We'll come back to this in a minute.
I don't even have Facebook. Oh, wait, yes, I do.
It's at the bottom of their page. It's right there at the bottom. So you people, speaking of Facebook, cyberbullies, meet your new worst enemy. Facebook. Cyberbullies won't find any safe haven in Facebook from here on out. According to VentureBeat, the company is on the verge of complying with a UK high court order to reveal the names, email addresses, and IP addresses of four alleged cyberbullies. The Guardian is reporting their accuser is one Miss Nicola Brooks of the UK, a woman who became a target for attack when she posted a comment on Facebook about former X Factor contestant Frankie Kokaza. It's hiccups. Here we go again.
Menlo Park, California.
Okay, so
looks like they also have one in Austin and Dallas, Texas.
I may have to, Ginger. Okay, so it's unknown what exactly about Frankie Kokaza that set off the alleged bullet. The result was, in a word, undeserved. Brooks says she was called a drug dealer and a pedophile by her assailants, who even went as far as to create a fake Facebook profile to further their cause.
Are you kidding me?
Nope. With the subpoenaed details, lawyers hope to identify who the bullies are and where they live. In what very might be a legal become a legal precedent, Facebook is expected to concede to the court the information, though it doesn't take much inspection to realize that there will be some problems with the plaintiff's case. For one, the bullies created a fake profile, which clearly prevents anyone from knowing exactly who said what. IP addresses, too, are notoriously held on shaky ground legally. And email addresses, well, they don't prove much of anything. In all, lawyers are going to have to piece together more than a few details before they have a firm case. Facebook, for its part, hasn't ignored the cyberbully issue, which it responded to last year by releasing a new social reporting tool. Later that year, the company launched Stop Bullying, Speak Up, a campaign meant to raise awareness of the issue. That support, Facebook said, extends to the Brooks case as well. So there's no plan for harassment on Facebook, but unfortunately, a small minority of malicious individuals exist online, just as they do offline. We respect our legal obligations and work with law enforcement to ensure that such people are brought to justice, Facebook said in a statement to VentureBeat. What is wrong with some of you?
I have no idea.
What exactly is wrong with some of you people out there? It's one thing to disagree with someone, and they're perfectly acceptable to disagree.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have the right to start calling them a pedophile and drug dealer because everybody believes what they read on the internet. They just do. How do you spell Menlo Park?
M-E-N-L-O. And I was looking, and it looks like the cheapest I found was in Palo Alto? Near. And it's $800 a month.
That's actually a little bit higher than here.
I'm seeing the upwards of, it looks like $1,800 a month.
Oof. Now, you add to that a car note, which could be anywhere from, $700 to $800, and your light bill, because I'm imagining that it's hot because it don't rain very much in California.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that could be kind of costly.
Like I said, I would have about six roommates. One room apartment, maybe.
You'd have to keep that a hold of that $600. I know a lot of people that do that here when they're young, and a lot of people don't think to do it. But you young guns out there, you're just getting into college or graduating, a good thing to do is you get a house to rent with five other friends because it's got a lot of bedroom space, a lot of room for you all to be spread out, especially if you're in Texas. And just get as many people in there as you can. And if you need to spend the night out, go spend a night at that boyfriend or girlfriend's house who was stupid enough to get their own apartment.
Exactly. 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 Or you can always rent a hotel.
Not here. You don't do a hotel.
Here?
Yeah, here the hotel, like they have those the staycation suites. Those things are like wow, expensive on a monthly basis. Super expensive. You know, you might as well have your own apartment.
Mm-hmm.
The amenities are nice. They have a maid come in and clean up, and they clean your room and bring you fresh towels, but or your apartment, quote unquote. But and they wash the dishes too. So, but still, it's not worth the price.
Yeah.
It just really isn't. Some of them are ranging into $2,000 a month and so on and so forth. And they're not even in nice areas, you know, a good place where you want to be, maybe near the airport or near your conference center. So not here at least, but some places, yes. I think our same suite, we had a one-bedroom suite in Seattle, completely different. It was like $400, $200 a piece for all of us for the week, which wasn't bad.
Yeah.
Wasn't bad at all. But we had like 7-8 people. But it was a lot of space. That's what we're alluding to. If you need space, ladies, you find your 5 or 6 friends because you talk each other if you live together, and you just split the rent if you're in California and put the rest of that money in the bank because Facebook could fold at any moment. I mean, to be mean, but it could.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Palo Alto's near the airport, right?
Those of you I believe so, but I could be wrong.
I see it in Redwood, near Redwood City. I'm checking out Menlo Park to see where it's near. I'm just curious as what exactly is Facebook paying. Now, if you live in Austin and you're making that much, you are golden. The people in Austin and Dallas, mm-hmm. they are so golden. If they're making $6,000 a month as an intern, they are living it up. But in California, I can't see where they're doing making a whole lot of money.
Yeah.
Okay. It's near San Jose.
Is it near San Jose?
Yeah, it's mostly it's a little bit of ways from San Jose, but
you know what's cheap? Cardboard boxes.
Yeah, I could live in one of those too. I could do this.
You know, actually, like I said, I don't advocate it for everybody. I won't say it wasn't hard to begin with, but between before I moved where I am now from where I was last time, there was a 3-month stint where I was in motorhome and a park. It was crazy. And people are going, oh, my God, that sounds so redneck, and you're hearing banjos. It really wasn't. It was a very nice place. It was full of old, retired military people. They were very nice. And it was actually a lot of fun. And it was so cheap. So cheap.
Okay, I'm still looking at the apartments just on Craigslist, okay? This is so tiny, okay? For 650 feet, this is 600, so it's $1 a square foot, $650 for a one-bedroom apartment. Here? For that same price, depending on what side of Houston you live on, that's a 2-bedroom apartment, 1,200 square feet, double the space and up.
Yes.
So, yeah, those of you who are also getting new into the game industry, you might just consider coming to Texas and not doing the migration to Seattle or California because this is ridiculous.
This is ridiculous, and this is why these other companies are leaving there, too, and they're coming here because it's so much cheaper.
It's cheaper to run your business, everything.
And we give you tax breaks, like, whoa.
Yeah, that's right. And we got the best barbecue because this is where it comes from. Anyway, moving
along.
And we
got Mexican food. We actually have
real
Mexican food. We're not talking Taco Bell.
We got the real deal here.
Yeah, and don't do Taco Bell.
Well, in California, they got Mexican food, but I think it's better. I think it tastes better here, and I'm not just saying that because I'm from Texas. It tastes a whole lot better here to me. And I found a restaurant in Seattle that was okay with the Mexican food, but it wasn't like here. We're close.
Yeah. I went to visit family up in Iowa, and they were so happy. They were so proud of themselves. They found this little hole-in-the-wall place, and they sell authentic Mexican food and took me, and I was like, no, this is not. This is our fast food.
Yeah. Not right.
I know. They were like, and this hot sauce, it's so hot. And I was like, really?
You're proud of this?
All right. Okay, so GamePolitics.com this morning. Hitman Absolution director apologizes for Attack of the Saints trailer.
Oh, I did that yesterday.
Oh, did you? Never mind.
Well, if you need, I can jump in about the Microsoft class.
No, I can do it. I got other stuff. Game for Health Registration Reminder. We did not do this one yesterday, right?
Nope.
All right. Ben Sawyer, the director of Games for Health, passed along a note to remind everyone that the 8th Annual Games for Health Conference in Boston, Massachusetts, at the Hyatt Harborside Hotel is coming up fast. Online registration for the event that takes place June 12th to 14th closes at the end of the day on Friday, June 8th. You can register for the event over at regionline.com. The Game for Health Project is an event that deeply explores using video games and video game technology to help in various sectors of the healthcare field. The event supports community, knowledge, and business development efforts to use cutting-edge games and game technologies to improve health and healthcare. The Pioneer Portfolio of the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation is the lead conference sponsor and a major supporter of the Games for Health Project. More than 400 attendees are expected to participate in over 60 sessions, helmed by 80-plus speakers. Topics include extra gaming, physical therapy, disease management, health behavior change, biofeedback, rehab, epidemiology, training, cognitive health, nutrition, and health education. All right, so you want to check out more about this, so you just want to learn more, you can head over to gamesforhealth.org.
No.
Yay. Yes.
No.
Yes.
I said no.
I said yes.
Ooh, that was an angry ginger voice.
look at this.
He sounds all sweet.
Yeah, I don't do mad very well.
At least not that way. Just, you're too cute. You're too cute. You just don't sound threatening at all. It's like, oh, you mad, Ginger?
No, never mad.
Oh, it's that Ginger.
I love my Corey.
Hey, I have my days too. Okay, anyway. So, there's some talk going around about, of course, Microsoft Glass, the thing they were mentioning at E3. Of course, the rumblings over at GI.biz is that Nintendo's press conference may have been a little bit disappointing after a promising start, saying it was poorly scripted, ill-considered, and deeply unlikable mess. But the company's influence, of course, over the rest of the games business continues to be strong. Now, if you recall, a few years ago, in the success of the Wii motion controller, Sony and Microsoft didn't even have the grace to look sheepish as they unveiled their own motion control hardware sometime later. This time
around, imagine that.
This
time, no, man, we thought about this first. We just, you know.
This time around, of course, with the Wii U's second-gen proposition on the table since last year, they're determined not to be left behind. Microsoft, anyway. And lo and behold, second screen ideas were announced by both Nintendo's rivals this week. For Sony's part, the hookup of the Vita to the PS3 is a fairly logical step. It promotes the Vita, and God knows it needs it, while giving the possibility of an interesting new set of controls to the PS3 hardware. In tune with much of Sony's conference, the Vita hookups announced so far are entirely games-focused, although it is expected that the company will quickly wise up to the media potential of the device. Microsoft also has their own called Smart Glass. It's supposed to be more ambitious than, yeah, I propose it maybe. It proposes to make any mobile or tablet device interact with the Xbox 360 either as a touchscreen controller or as a secondary display showing you extra information from the game you're playing or media you're watching. Confounding the expectations of critics ahead of the show, the company even plans to make this work with iOS and Android devices. Yeah, not just Windows 7 phones or Windows 8 devices. So there's a chance that some consumers might even use it. All of this is aimed, in part, at being able to shrug expansively and say, hey, we could do that, too, when Nintendo arrives on the market with the Wii U later this year.
You know, that's exactly what I was thinking. Is that these are like the younger brothers. You know what? Look, we can do it, too.
They are the younger brothers. That's what they – oh, jeez. Anyway.
Look, mommy.
We're the mommies, apparently, all the gamers. Look, we can do it, too. Of course, over at GI.biz, they are missing the point to a large extent. Developers on the Wii U, including crucially Nintendo first parties, can develop in the full confidence that every consumer will have a gamepad. Sony and Microsoft, however, will have to apply a significant amount of leverage to convince developers to spend time and money supporting an optional link-up to an external device. And no game for the PS3 or Xbox will ever be designed from the outset with that functionality as a core feature. Again, this is where Nintendo has you by the bobbits, okay? So in Microsoft's case, though, it was hard to escape the feeling that Smart Glass wasn't really designed for games anyway. There are simply too many hurdles to overcome from a gaming point of view, not least of which is the bewildering variety of devices to work with. Yeah, the Android platform alone boasts dozens, if not hundreds of thousands soon, of different screen formats and resolutions, which is something of a constant source of woe for the Android developers, which we've told you about here, although we have somebody that's working on something supposed to ease the bite of that. And Smart Glass purports to support that as well as iOS and Windows Phone and Windows itself. Perhaps there's a clever solution to this device fragmentation, but if you're purporting to use a device as a secondary controller for a video game, we're really not sure what that might be. Besides, Microsoft's demo was initially heavily focused not on games but on media, which is boo.
Screw you, Microsoft.
Of course, if you were watching the conference, the presentation was showing you the IMDb entry for a movie that was playing on Xbox. Then you saw it showing an animated map of Westeros during an episode of Game of Thrones, explaining where the characters we were watching were located, and that's a nice demonstration. Woo, woo, woo. And it's one of the more frequently cited commentator was what they were talking about after the event. It raised more questions than it answered. Now, the question for starters is, who creates this content? Or rather, who pays for the content to be created? Does HBO, Microsoft, Netflix, or Hulu, or whatever streaming service you happen to be using? If anyone other than Microsoft, why would they make an Xbox exclusive content that can't be accessed by users on other devices? Mm-hmm. Think about that. If it's Microsoft, what's the justification of the outlay? It just promotes Xbox, or are they expecting users to pay a premium for Smart Glass content alongside what they already pay for their TV shows and movies? In other words, what's your business
model?
I'm
going to go with premium because they are some stingy bitches.
I'm not paying for a damn thing more. I already have HBO through Comcast, and that's the only reason why I have that little HBO whatchamadoolet on my Xbox right now. Actually, it's to watch Sex and the City because I'm still trying to watch the whole series. And when I'm done with that, I think I'm going to watch that other one that just went off, the one about the movie actors in Hollywood. And then I'm not a Game of Thrones person. I've tried. It just doesn't pull me in. Again, it's still the same as some orcs and trolls and dragons, and I'm kind of sick of that. In any any area, TV show, game, I'm all sick of it. So I'm really not interested in watching it. Walking Dead, I really don't need to watch it there. It comes on the regular TV. But the other stuff, you know, it's gone off the air, and it can't be broadcast on regular TV, so I have to watch it there. That's the only reason why I have it. I don't want Netflix or Hulu or any of that crap. So anyway, Microsoft, after all, they're saying, has stopped really looking at Nintendo. And Sony, when it comes to strategic planning, said it's not won the console battle, although it's certainly put in a strong front. Microsoft, pick a side. You're really going to lose your...
Stop straddling the middle of the road. You're going to get hit both sides.
You're going to lose both your legs. anyway, you
and then what you going to do?
Exactly. You can check out the rest of this very interesting article. Oh, he puts...
Potential's going to be pretty useless then.
Yeah, by Rob Fahey over at GI.biz. It's a really interesting read because he brings forth some questions I'm sure people were not thinking about watching the presentation. Some of these things did cross my mind. Not all of them. Where I wonder, what the hell, Microsoft, what are you doing? And when they said Android, that is the first thing I thought about was Android. Are you kidding me? Do you know how many Android phones are in existence at present? There's so many that even Android can't keep up with
the
phone. That's why Ginger doesn't have ice cream sandwich. They're like, forget it, we can't do it. Yeah, they're like, forget it, we can't do it. Just leave it alone. I don't think I have ice cream sandwich either.
That's a tragedy.
I don't think I do. I've been looking for it. Let me see. What's my operating... Yeah, I don't have ice cream sandwich either.
That's not cool.
No.
That's not cool. That's kind of sad.
It is very sad.
All right, so I guess it is my turn again. Oh, and by the way, Idol Worship, I see you. You just followed me. That's so cool. All right, what do we got? We've got all sorts of crazy little games going on. I had a competition I was looking for. All right, there we go. Online game publisher Webzen announces worth a $10,000 grand prize. I'm going to lose my voice. Celebrating a successful return to E3, Webzen Incorporated, a global publisher of online games, can now announce the winners of its Continent of the Ninth Seal C9 tournament. At an event held on Wednesday, June 6th, two teams, North American Gears Executor and European Pony Club, went head-to-head for C9 Supremacy and a $10,000 grand prize. After a skilled and heated battle, Gears Executor bested Pony Club to claim the championship title, cash reward, and international bragging rights. Yeah. All right, so Dohan Choi, team leader for the Gears Executor, says, competing in and winning the first global C9 championship tournament at one of the world's biggest interactive entertainment shows is a dream come true. We appreciate WebZen inviting us to be part of the Austin C3. And I speak for my whole team when I say that we are looking forward to defending our title at future C9 tournaments. Awesome. So in addition to the tournament, WebZen live streamed the entire event for fans to watch to catch the action online, and also showcased the upcoming online first-person shooter FPS game, Arctic Combat, unveiling two brand new trailers and handing out special edition dog tag beta keys for the Task Force 613 beta test group. And by the way, if you're curious about Arctic Combat, I did put that up on GameAndMatrix.com this morning. Head over there and check it out. I'm pretty sure I have some screenshots and a trailer for you. So go check it out. GameAndMatrix.com. And Corey's quiet.
I am. I'm muted and talking. There's a new game out if you want to pop over and play it on the Google Play Store. It is called iPhone Racer. It's made by independent developer Battery Acid, and is now available as download through Google Play. Fans of the racing genre and players with an urge for an ultimate adrenaline rush are offered some seriously addicting, bone-breaking action in this racer with attitude. Previously only available for the Apple iPhone and the Apple iPad as one of the most popular recent apps on the App Store, this ridiculously fast racing game encourages you to slap on your helmet and experience some high-octane action. Zoom down the open highway and using tilt controls and nitrous oxide boost to pass traffic without crashing. Be stupidly responsible when you drive, as passing as close to other vehicles increases your points and your speed, but be careful when maneuvering, as crashing will cause some serious bone-crushing damage. Customize your rider's looks to give them your own personal styling. Highway Rider is available for download on Google Play. You can find the link up on our site. And the cool thing about this is, if you have a Droid, if you just go there and click the link and tell it to download, it'll actually download to your phone if you've entered your device at Google, that is. And you don't have to do anything. Just work.
Not to stop and look at the phone. Just flip your phone, not that I'm, you know.
Yeah, I just deleted some stuff. Yeah, I just deleted a bunch of stuff off my phone because my phone stays packed. You gotta keep Baby Natrix occupied. She will attack you.
Yeah.
She will jump on you like a zombie child and bite you in the neck if you don't have something to play with when she's in the car. So I'm going to have to put Angry Bird Space back on the phone pretty soon. I've been asked 3 times now and I get...
Oh, no. No Angry Bird.
Yes. I'm very thankful that the newer cars have a place to plug in your charger in the back seat now. So I can have her plug it in and still keep the cell phone charged, because it gets ugly in a car, I'm telling y'all.
That's no good.
Yeah, it gets real ugly.
All right. Another Humble Bundle. Humble Bundle 5 adds Braid, Super Meat Boy, and Lone Survivor.
Ooh.
You know, why am I hearing an echo?
I don't know.
That's weird.
I'm hearing one too.
All right. If you didn't think that the reason to put down some money on Humble Bundle 5, organizers are adding a little more sweetener to the mix. 3 brand name games to anyone willing to pay more than the average bundle price. The Pay What You Want DRM Free bundle was already offering a decent lineup of titles, including Bastion, Limbo, Super Brothers, Sword and Sorcery EP, Psychonauts, and Amnesia The Dark Descent. The soundtracks for all of the above listed games are also included. Now, anyone paying over the current average price of $7.88 can get Lone Survivor, Braid, and Super Meat Boy. The charities you can donate to include Child's Play and the Electronic Frontier Foundation, which both need help quite a bit. Currently, the bundle has generated $3,281,510.96 on the sale of 416,395 games or bundles. Sorry. The most popular platform right now is Windows, but the average price by platform is $12.24 per bundle. So if you want to check this out, if you want to help this out, because like I said, the money goes towards awesome, awesome charities, you can check it out over at humblebundle.com. I was curious, are these the only 2 charities? Because I thought there were other charities as well that they...
I got no idea. Did you know Facebook's App Store had launched?
They have yesterday? An App Store?
See?
How do they need an app? They don't even have a phone. or tablet or anything else.
Okay, well, this actually was yesterday, late today. I saw this last night. I was going to mention it, but I said, wait a minute. There's the other news going on, too. There's a new Twitter bird coming, by the way, so you all won't freak out when you see him. He's a new Twitter bird.
What's wrong with the little Twitter bird?
His name is Larry, and he needed to be changed. Apparently, the people at Twitter are like us. You know, they understand fashion. Using the same fashion is futile. Okay, anyway, so in case you didn't know, Microsoft launched its very own App Store. We did mention it, but we even forgot. Basically, it's a directory for all kinds of apps, not just Facebook apps, on many devices, including your smartphones, tablets, as well as desktop. You can preview the apps before you download them, so you can see screenshots and ratings. Wonder where they got that from. In fact, the whole interface will be incredibly similar to users of the iTunes App Store, Google Play, or any other application marketplace you might be using today. The App Center is what it's properly called, will begin rolling out to people in the U.S. as of yesterday. Out of the gate, it will contain around 600 apps. The rolling out should be complete for all Facebook users within the next few weeks. I know my phone has been updating Facebook like crazy. It is up to 32 megabytes of space on my phone, and I'm not happy with you, Facebook. The App Center is available in the Facebook iOS and Android apps as well as Facebook.com. If you're browsing mobile apps on your desktop, you can send those apps directly to your phone as well. Wonder where they got that from. With the App Center.
Never know.
With the App Center, Facebook users have the chance to peruse apps from within Facebook's walled garden, but the apps themselves are downloaded via the marketplace that corresponds with the mobile platform of their choice. The goal is to solve the app discovery problem based on what you and your friends play. A Facebook rep told this to VentureBeat. Over the past few months in particular, this is supposed to be helping developers grow and distribute their apps, which has been a big concern for Facebook. The company's been highlighting timeline-based growth for lifestyle, video, and media apps, and apps for fashion and shopping. For many developers, this rush of Facebook linked growth has been significant enough to warrant its own nickname, the Facebook Timeline Bump. And that traffic is going back to the apps themselves. It doesn't just live on Facebook. In May alone, Facebook is used to iOS apps more than 134 million times. As an app developer, you'd naturally see a lot of opportunity from integrating with Facebook, which brings a built-in audience of nearly a billion users. Due to that critical mass alone, you might get more users. You might also get better data on how your apps are performing. Eventually, you'll likely see Facebook launching paid apps directly from the App Center and Facebook credits as a nice path to monetization for developers, and then developers monetize via credits. Facebook wins to the tune of 30% in case you were following the money and wondering why Facebook would want to make its own app store in the first place. 30%. Wonder where they got that from. Now, you might ask, is Facebook trying to compete with Apple and Google and Microsoft in their app marketplaces? The answer, if you listen to the Facebook PR person, is, oh, no, we would never dream of such a thing. But you know it's yes. if you ask us and people at VentureBeat, App Center is currently a very subtle jab at the heavyweights with a long road between today's launch and any serious competition. but there's a couple of developers over on VentureBeat that are not liking it. They're saying it's interesting to watch, but as the app developer said, it's a hassle with very little upside. It's just another storefront without any inventory and no revenue to back us up. Yeah. I would have to concur with you there. I don't see the point in this because this is another thing. A lot of these apps that are on Facebook don't run on all phones. Some of them only run on Apple. Some of them only run on Android. So the fact that I can see them, did Facebook take that into account? Does the walled garden actually have a cloud space like on Live where I can run my mudlings from my phone? Can I do that, Facebook?
That would be awesome because
if I can.
I was on my phone the other day, I'm walking through, getting ready to move. I'm walking through a store, getting boring crap to fix up the house, and I'm like, oh, my God. I'm sitting there playing on my phone, and I want to play my Mudlings.
I want my Mudlings.
And my phone is equal to my phone.
Yeah, your phone is rather awesome.
Yes.
I'm thinking about stealing your phone when you're not looking.
Don't you dare.
I am. I'm thinking about stealing your phone. It's okay. I'll give it back.
I will still link.
You wouldn't dare.
I would totally still link. Well, my phone, I will still link.
Ginger. Oh, Link, no. Oh, let me
I'll
hold him close.
Return him with kiss marks.
Oh, Ginger.
I love you, Corey.
I am holding my Link close. I will not let her take you. Never. You should.
You'd enjoy it.
He's smiling. I'd smile too if I was holding somebody was holding me next to their breast and I was a little elf boy. Yeah, go ahead, hug me. You're gonna miss me.
I know, right?
Stop smiling at me like that.
All right. So the number I can't talk this morning. I should just give up. The numbers are in. E3 2012 had 45,700 attendees and raised $40 million in local revenue, says ESPN. I'm pulling this from GamePolitics.com. Hmm. As it traditionally does after Electronic Entertainment Expo in Los Angeles is over, the Entertainment Software Association, the ESA, released attendance figures for the annual event. Curiously, the organization responsible for E3 did not announce what city it will take place in next year.
Oh.
Complaints that they're leaving.
Houston.
Yes, well, God, please, that'd be awesome. Earlier this week, it was reported that the ESA was still in negotiations with the city of Los Angeles over the convention center space because it was concerned with some upcoming construction, which is yet to be approved officially by the city, that might adversely affect the center's ability to host the large-scale event. Oh, boy. All right. That aside, the ESA reported that 45,700 video game industry professionals, investors, analysts, journalists, and retailers from 103 countries attended this week's event in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. The event also brought in an estimated 1,000 total hotel room nights and generated nearly $40 million in revenue for the city. Approximately 200 exhibitors showcased various products at the event. Who is this? Michael D. Gallagher, president and CEO of the ESA, says E3 2012 focused and harnessed the passion, energy, and excitement for video games and propelled our industry into the global spotlight. Thanks to our members and exhibitors' remarkable vision, billions of consumers watched and learned about our industry and this incredible intersection of creativity, technology, and content. The world's top publishers, developers, and stakeholders converged at E3 to unveil the latest global trends and most exciting news products for the year ahead. New products for the year ahead. We look forward to building on this great momentum for 2013. ESA will announce dates and the host city for E3 2013 in the coming weeks. Yes, I look forward to Houston, Texas, baby.
That's right. Okay, we got minimum time, and I have to do this because I forgot I tweeted it a minute ago. In case you didn't know, Nexon has bought 15% stake in NCSoft. Free-to-play specialist Nexon has acquired a 14.7% interest in Guild Wars 2 publisher NCSoft, becoming the company's largest shareholder. Nexon purchased 3,218,091 shares of NCSoft CEO Tae Jin Kim for $804,522,750,000 yen, which is around $686.8 million here. The transaction brings together NCSoft's strong pipeline of compelling IP and Nexon's leading international publishing platform and expertise in the operation of free-to-play online games. The investment forms the basis of a long-term partnership, enabling both companies to leverage their strengths to facilitate attractive commercial opportunities. By creating the strategic relationship, both Nexon and NCSoft strengthen their commitment to deliver unrivaling gaming experiences around the world. Can't wait to see how this is going to go. You guys need to really dump some more time and energy back in the City of Heroes. I'm thinking about coming back, but I don't know why I should. Talk to me and say it slow.
Yeah.
So I can think
say
about it.
Slow, baby.
Say it nice and slow. All right, lovely peoples, it's about that time for us to say goodbye to you. We will miss you over the weekend. I will be somewhere floating around here. Ginger will be on the road to y'all. Keep her in your prayers. No fair tweeting her while she's trying to drive. We don't want her to get hurt.
Yeah, do not be tweeting me while I drive. Well, I... Yeah.
You can tweet, anyway. But you don't look at it, Ginger. How about that?
Okay.
You don't look and stop.
I can do that.
Mm-hmm.
That works for me.
As for the rest of you... There we go. As for the rest of you, we will see you bright and early on Monday. Make sure you're listening to Gamer Girls Radio bright, early, Monday. Okay? Okay. By the way, this next one is not safe for work. We'll see you guys on Monday. Fuck!
Tetris.